living longer and staying healthier. It's Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. Here's your host, Dr. Mike.
So I'm here with Stephanie Erickson. She's a social worker with over 20 years experience in social work. She focuses a lot in the elderly, dementia, decision-making capacity, and she has her own podcast called Caregiver Circle on webtalkradio.net. Stephanie, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Thank you.
So we just ended up talking about home care versus assisted living. We were talking a little bit about cost, and you really surprised me with the number that you came up with. I mean, that's a lot. So if I'm a caregiver, so you mentioned what was it, $120,000 or so
about
a year?
If you have full-time home care, that's full-time, 24 hours, 7 days a week.
Yeah. Are there programs, financial aid programs for families that want to go that route?
Well, there are insurance products that cover that kind of care that people can purchase. I mean, I've purchased that already because I'm in the business and I know what to look forward to as I age. So there are insurance products. For those that don't qualify, in other words, for like a Medicare or Medicaid aid, you're really looking at maybe some basic resources that perhaps the Alzheimer's Society or some other organizations can give to you, but nothing is going to be full-time care. You might get 3-4 hours a week. But unfortunately, it's never really sufficient for what the family needs.
Yeah, let's switch the conversation over to the caregiver now, because I think this is just as important, right? I mean, we caregivers, right, are taking care of, you know, parents that are getting older. As you mentioned before, there could be memory issues, even just full blown diagnoses like Alzheimer's and stuff. And I think sometimes the caregiver forgets about themselves, don't they? How often do you see caregivers not taking care of themselves?
I would say 100% of the time. Now, the not taking care of themselves, there's a range, but every single caregiver that I have ever met neglects some part of themselves, whether it's, you know, something that they were passionate about, a hobby, perhaps it's, you know, hygiene or sleep or their own medical appointments, their social relationships. There is always something that the caregiver is not doing for themselves and instead pouring that energy into their loved one.
Well, now how do you define a caregiver? Because I think when I hear that, Stephanie, when I hear the word caregiver, I'm thinking of the spouse that is taking care of the other spouse full-time with Alzheimer's, or I'm thinking of a daughter taking care of her mom full-time. But there's more of a wide range of caregivers, aren't there?
There really is, and I'm really glad you asked that question, because I think part of the reasons why caregivers don't take care of themselves is that they're not identifying as such. They're identifying as, I'm a daughter. That's it. I'm a daughter, and I'm assisting my mom. And again, I think that caregiving begins very early on. So it's simple things like, in my own family, you know, my mother-in-law, every time she goes to meet her financial advisor, she wants my husband to go with her. Now, she doesn't need help really making decisions, but already he's doing little things here or there. Or she doesn't like to drive at night, so we pick her up and drive her to our house to have dinner. This is already our introduction into being a caregiver, even though we're not defining it as that. That really is the beginning of a long journey.
You talk about, I don't know, maybe I saw this on a blog or something you wrote, or it was something about a working caregiver. Do you want to explain that?
Yeah, that's a large percentage of the people. Working caregiver is someone who is putting in, you know, full or part-time into a traditional business. You know, they're a lawyer, they work at, you know, a retail outlet, whatever it might be, and at the same time, they're providing support for their aging relative. And that support could be everything like what I said is, you know, doing a bit of transportation, going to appointments, or even going to their house, making dinner, cleaning out their refrigerator, shoveling the snow for them during the winter. And at the same time, they still have their own work responsibilities and really their own family responsibilities most of the time.
So, okay, so is it a common scenario to have, all right, let's say you have a family, maybe you have some siblings, 2 or 3 siblings, maybe the father passed away, they got a mom who has some memory issues. How often do you find that it's just one sibling doing most of the caregiving? And if that's the case, what kind of advice can you give that caregiver to get more of the family involved?
I would say that's the most common scenario, and it's not necessarily a bad scenario because, as well as you probably know as a physician, healthcare professionals like to have one person to speak with. They don't want to have to explain everything to a million family members, and it's good when one person takes the lead. However, if that person needs assistance, it's really important that the other family members chip in and do their part. That's not always possible because of dynamics within relationships, trust issues, you know, history of family conflict. But I
geography
always would encourage
too.
The caregiver to be honest with their family members, but instead of telling them what they should be doing, is asking them what they're capable of offering, so that that way they don't feel that they're being forced, but they can just offer what it is they want.
Yeah. So leading the care for a parent or a spouse is fine, but that's not the same thing as doing everything yourself, right? So delegating a little bit to some other family members is important.
Yeah, there is a difference between, you know, I'm the one doing all of the work, but there's also, you know, I'm the one organizing it all together. I'm creating a schedule. So my sister, I'm asking, maybe she's going to be visiting my mom Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I'm going to visit my mom Tuesday, Thursdays, and the weekends. My brother, who is a lawyer, he's going to be taking care of managing all the money because he's really good that way, and we can sort of divide and conquer.
Right. What's the best way for a caregiver to care for themselves?
Well, I think they need to understand and recognize what it is that they're neglecting first, because most of the time caregivers say, no, 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 I'm fine. So I think just really reflecting and looking deep within and saying, who was I? What did I do prior to taking on this additional responsibility? Then we can start to say, oh, okay, these are the pieces of my life that I'm missing. And then literally, pen and paper in hand, make a plan to make sure that you are giving yourself back some of those things that brought you enjoyment prior to taking on the responsibility.
And it's okay to take a break as a caregiver, right?
In fact, you have to, because if you don't, you're not going to do your job as well. You might be resentful, you might be angry, fatigued, and you will actually, in the end, hurt the person that you're trying to help because you're so exhausted and angry and resentful. So it's really mandatory, in my mind, that caregivers take a break for themselves.
Yeah. You know, I had some experience with this. A friend of mine was taking care of her mom, and she wasn't taking care of herself at all, and I had noticed, just like you said, Stephanie, some of the things she used to enjoy she wasn't doing, some of the hobbies she used to love to do, yoga, she wasn't doing that anymore. But she was also, Stephanie, and she still is, I said that in past tense, I don't know why, she's also very headstrong, right? And I knew that I couldn't just go in there and say, I don't want to say her name, but I couldn't just go in there and say, all right, you got to go to your 2-hour yoga class today. And she just wasn't going to do that. So what I did is we took the dogs for a 20-minute walk. You know, we just did little things to get outside again. And little by little, she started getting back in. And that was somewhat successful for her. She's still not doing enough, though, to be honest with you, Stephanie. Now, you have a personal website, right? You want to give that to my listeners?
Sure. It's ericksonresource.com. And that's spelled ericksonresource.com.
And what kind of information's on that site?
Well, I have a blog that goes up all the time. Information about my podcast is up there. And I write a lot of articles. I also have worksheets and webinars that people can access. It's a very active site, so you can find a lot of information and resources about caregiving.
Stephanie, thank you so much for what you're doing. I really am impressed by the work you do, and I just want to say thank you. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well. Ooh, 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 ooh.